Hey everybody, this is Christina with On Request Magazine, and I'm here today with Andre Rodriguez from Coat Check Girl. How are you doing, Andre?
Pretty good, Christina. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day out here in Southern California. How's your weather out there in Florida?
It's great. It's great. Not too hot, not too cold. So far, it's been great.
Wonderful. Good. I'm glad. I really am looking forward to finding out all about Coat Check Girl and, you know, where your project is going, but I wanted to get a little backstory, if I could, from you for our listeners who may not be familiar with you, if that's cool.
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, great. Now, you guys, you're based in L.A., or, well, out of L.A. right now, correct? Is that where you're currently? Okay. But you grew up in Venezuela, so I'm kind of...
Yeah,
this is going to be an interesting story, I think. So I want to find out a little bit about, you know, how you got into music and, you know, what your influences
me and my brother Alejandro, he's the lead guitar player in the band. We were born and raised in Venezuela. We lived there for 17, 18 years. And then because of political reasons, we had to move and flee the country. We moved to southern Florida, specifically to Miami in the Fort Lauderdale area. But our entire life, we played music in Venezuela. We were in metal bands. We had a bunch of shows down there. We were on the radio in Minnesota. We were selected to open up for Metallica and Mastodon. That never happened because we ended up moving to the States.
Wow.
And that was going to happen. Yeah. So we decided to start over, start a new band. This band now, Culture Girl, started as my senior thesis for school. I went to school for art engineering. And I just needed to find a band and record and produce a band, so I decided to just start my own band. We wrote 5 songs. We named that project Yellow Umbrella. And we produced and put out the music. We didn't really do much with that, and after 2 years, kind of, a year and a half after we were done with the project, I decided to revisit that, to change the name of the band, and to, like, actually start over and use this as a new band. I renamed it Coat Check Girl, and we released our first single in July.
Wow, that's very recent, so this is all just really still a burgeoning sort of project, which I think is going to be a really great one.
Thank you.
That's very cool. Now, let me ask you, because you mentioned having to leave Venezuela, and God, the timing of that, you know, getting ready to open up for a band like Metallica, that really sucks, so I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
But leaving, you know, for political reasons, and, you know, I'm really curious to see how your upbringing there sort of influenced what you guys do musically.
Well, honestly, I write a lot about politics. I try to mask it and hide it as something else, but there's a single that we're releasing in March next year called Yellow, Blue, Red, which I think is our most powerful song, and it's all about Venezuela and the situation that is going on down there and what we had to do to leave the country. The song is called like that because the Venezuelan flag is yellow, blue, and red.
Right.
And what I do throughout the song is I explain that yellow means this, blue means this, red means this. But everything we went through affected, or in keeps on affecting directly, the music we write and the lyrics we put in the music.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could hear that in the songs that I've had the pleasure of listening to so far. I mean, there's a lot of anger and pain in there. And
yes.
Yeah, I could imagine. I mean, all I can do is imagine. I, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I even have a clue as to what you guys went through. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, though, that you can channel that into what the band is doing, and it really comes through. So, you know, you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. That's amazing.
You're welcome. Now, the music scene in L.A. is, I'm sure, very different from your hometown, and it's a competitive scene out there. Have you had a tough time getting your foot in the door, you know, out there at all and getting things rolling as a band?
Yeah, it's definitely different from what we're used to. As you may know, everyone in Los Angeles is a musician.
Right.
Everyone is in a band. So it's kind of hard to, like, stand out and do something different, something that nobody else is doing or something. some lucky reason, every time we play a show, we make fans.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's what you do, right? You get out there and you play as much as possible, especially in L.A. It's about being seen.
Exactly. And I've learned one thing, that every time you play a show, you should not only focus on the audience, but also focus on the bartenders, because they're always there every night.
Right.
And if they like you and they think you stand out, it's because you're doing something right.
That's true. And, you know, the tough thing I think about L.A. is that, you know, like you say, since everyone in L.A. pretty much is in the music industry in one way or another, you know, it's kind of hard to see a lot of camaraderie among bands out there, you know, because...
Sometimes it feels like it's more of like a, every single show, it's like a battle of the bands kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to try to do better than the band before me.
Right. And it's not like you build these close relationships with certain bands where it's like, okay, some scenes they have bands that have played together on the same bill, you know, even at different clubs for years because they're tight, you know, so
Yeah. You
don't see that in LA, and that's the tough part. But I mean, it'd be nice to see that change, don't you think, to see, you know.
Yeah, I think that would be perfect. I mean, we've been making friends with other musicians and other bands, like some of my good friends playing successful bands. And we've been trying to, like, keep on supporting them, and they've been doing the same. So, like, it's got to be a brotherhood, because if it's always a contest, then people are not going to pay attention. People just want to have fun. You're literally just entertaining the audience.
Right.
And people are not really paying attention to who's better than whom. They just want to forget about their day and have a good time at a show.
Right, and especially in a rock setting, you know, whether it's, no matter what form of rock, if it's metal, alternative, hard rock, whatever, it's not like that's the kind of band that ends up getting the huge success anymore. You know, the huge successes are, you know, more like pop artists that are regurgitated out there all the time. So, you know, I think for a rock community, it'd be great to, you know, most artists are DIY now anyway. So,
yeah, exactly.
Who are you trying to please, you know? So,
yeah, exactly. It's just like that.
That's just my humble opinion. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now. tell me a little bit about your band's approach to how you're releasing your music for the full-length album and how you came, you know, chose to do it this way.
Yeah, for some reason I've always had this way of thinking that I don't know if I want to release the album on my own, not because it's not doable. I'm an audio engineer, and I know how to produce an album by myself, and I know how to distribute the album, and I know how to put it out there. But it's hard as an independent artist to have a successful record out there without the support or the push of a label, either indie or major. Like, it's hard to be your own producer. It's hard to be your own songwriter. It's hard to be your own marketing team, your own publicity team. It's hard to be everything at the same time.
Absolutely.
So what we've been doing is releasing one single a month and then focus every month on that song that we release, so we can do every single thing that a label has to do for an artist, but on a monthly basis with one song.
Right.
I learned that people, like, keep on wanting more every time you release something. So if I release, I figure that if I release an album, so the people who like us are going to pay attention for like a month, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then we don't have anything else to put out because we're not a touring band right now, because we don't have the push of a label or the push of somebody with money, like, putting us out there.
Yeah.
So the more we release stuff, the more we release new songs or videos or cover videos or acoustic versions of songs we have, the more I think we're going to get people's attention. And so far, it's been working out. We're going to keep on doing it until we run out of songs or we get signed.
I think that's a smart approach, I think, because really the way things are now with any artist, even artists that do have label support and whatnot, you know, the mass fan bases of anybody are buying singles now anyway. So,
exactly.
You know, why not focus on that and really heavily promote it? So I think that was really a smart idea. And, you know, in the long run, when you have everything released for a full album, you know, and a label sees that those singles were successful, I mean, that's a good plan and a good way to go.
Yeah, that's what I think. Because nowadays, people have Spotify. They make playlists.
Right.
And they're not... one album. They're listening to a bunch of songs that are similar that are acting in some sort of mood. Like, today I feel sad, so I'm going to listen to a bunch of sad songs.
Right, right.
You're not necessarily listening to the same artist over and over again. You're listening to a bunch of songs that are making you feel this way.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's the way we want to keep on doing things for now.
Well, I think if I made a playlist of, man, I really want to kick someone's ass, I have a couple songs of yours that I would put on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Seriously. That...
I go to, like, a kickboxing class.
Yeah, right? Like they really would be good workout songs because they would be, like, just constantly pumping up your adrenaline. So that would be cool.
Awesome. That's good.
So let's talk about that for a second because you just released a video for Lose Control, which I thought was really completely badass. And I wanted to ask you about the concept of the video because you sort of see this quote-unquote relationship unravel, but in the reverse, and it's a pretty bloody ending.
Well, that video was produced by one of my best friends, Jose Oldenburg. I've known him for years, and he came up with a concept. He heard the song, and he was like, hey, what if we have some chick beat you up to death? And that's it. And I'm like, sure. Cool.
Right. Why not?
Do that. Thank you for taking care of me.
Right.
So, yeah, he had this vision of these relationships going wrong. Like, dude loves girl, then for some reason they stop liking each other. He breaks up with her, she gets mad, and it kills him.
Right.
But there's a scene in the video that she's drinking from a drink I gave her. And what my director / producer thought was like, okay, you felt like she was going to do something to you, so you poisoned that drink. Yep. And after she drank it, and after she killed you, she drives up, and then she crashes at the end, but you don't get to see that.
Right.
You only get to hear the car crash. I'm like, okay, so we both die? Like, yeah, you both die. I'm like, okay, awesome. But I think he just laid it out in such a fun and weird way, because like you said, the VU is going backwards.
Right.
But the story going forward, I don't know, I loved it. Like, I just showed up, and I acted, and I played guitar. And then when I saw the final product, I was just really happy.
It was cool, because at first, you don't really realize that you're seeing anything in reverse for a little bit. So,
exactly.
I really like that. And one of my favorite movies of all time is done in reverse, and I don't know if you've seen it. It's Memento. And
oh, yes.
It's so cool. And, you know, very similar ending. You know, you're seeing a murder to begin with, and then you don't know what happened. So, I really liked it. And, you know, many... You know, props to your producer there, your friend, because he did a great job.
Yeah, he's amazing. Let us know. He did a good job. He's amazing.
Most definitely. And now, so the next question to me would be, you have a new single also that you released, which is Heat Transfer. And is there going to be a video coming soon for that? And will he be doing it?
No, there's not going to be a video for Heat Transfer. We released Heat Transfer last month.
Okay.
Month of October. And we wanted to release that song along with the video because we wanted to, like I said before, we wanted to have, like, more things out that are not the same. Like, we're releasing the song, but we released the single of Lose Control, like, the month before.
I gotcha.
And we thought that it would be cool to have, like, a new song out than a video for something we released before. And I think we're doing actually something like that next year. Because yesterday, actually, no, Friday, we released a new single, called Concrete Heart. I lost my train of thought. Heat Transfer. That song is not gonna have a video. That song is also about person falls in love with another person, and it turns out the girl was not as nice as the guy thought. So he kills her at the end.
Ah, awesome. Awesome.
Yes.
So, do we need to talk about things, like, because there's a lot of killing going on. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just, like, a fun thing to talk about.
Well, yeah, you know, it happens, right? It happens, so... It's I watch all these forensic shows and stuff, so, I mean, this stuff happens every day in America, so, you know, might as well write about it.
I don't know, in a weird way, me and my brother, we basically write the songs together. Yeah, we're attracted to those forensic shows. lot, especially like the real ones that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like they show on CNN.
Yep, absolutely.
They're fun.
Yeah, I watch them every day. I'm a total addict for them, so, you know, I'm with you. I don't know what it is. It's like, you know, it's not like I want to see people die. I like the whole...
Yeah, but there's something about it. There's something, some weird attraction that people feel.
It's the whodunit aspect of it. Like, I want to figure it out before they do.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me talk to you about the music itself, okay? Aside from all the murder and stuff like that.
Okay.
It has a lot of elements to it, what you guys do, and I hear a lot of genre blending going on. So, you know, when I first heard, you know, Lose Control, I hear influences that come from hard rock, like Foo Fighters, and then they're, to me... The alternative stuff that I hear in there, you know, it reminded me a lot of bands like The Used or Chiodos. You know, there's a lot of real pain and anger and stuff in there. Do any of those bands influence what you do? And if not, like, can you tell me where you get some of your influences of, especially growing up in Venezuela?
Yeah. Well, me personally, Andre, I have a holy trinity to me. It's Metallica, Foo Fighters, and My Chemical Romance.
Oh, I love My Chem. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, for some reason, those three bands, like, changed the way I write music and how I write lyrics. And I think James Hetfield, Dave Grohl, and Gerard Way are just geniuses.
Yep.
Like, they're just role models to me. And that's how I develop my guitar playing skills. Like, not that I'm the best guitar player, but I play in a certain way because of them. But the band's also being influenced by a lot of other stuff. Like you said, like The Used, Paramore. Some reason I love 21 Pilots.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, it's just like, it's honestly all over the place. I've been falling in love with bands like New Politics and Marmosets and Of Mice and Men, and then we go back to Catfish and the Blowman. It's just like,
nice.
I'm all over the place. Like, I went to a Slayer concert, and then the week after, I went to see Panic at the Disco.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of good lyric writing there, though. You know, people write them off, but
it's just like, to me, just like I've learned to just appreciate music instead of just focusing on genre, and that's what I've been doing. Like, when I'm going to write music, I'm just going to write music. I'm not going to focus on this riff is not heavy enough, or this song is not sad enough. I mean, just whatever comes out.
Well, I'm with you.
At the end of the day, yeah, because at the end of the day, like, we're just trying to express emotions. And
as a listener, I'm the same way. You know, I can go from Metallica to singer-songwriter stuff and everything in between. So, you
exactly,
know,
like,
it's what moves
there's
me.
So much awesome stuff around, like, out there, but limiting yourself to one thing, to me, is just like, I don't know.
It's waste. Yeah, it's a waste to me. You know, you get people who get real into, you know, one genre, and they can't understand when you're listening to something else. And to me, I mean, good songwriting and good vocals is everything. So
exactly, like,
it's a matter of work.
I was listening last week in my office at work to the new Slipknot album, and then that was done. I started listening to the new Damien Rice album.
Oh, yeah.
People are just like, what's going on there?
Damien Rice is a genius, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, we should hang out one day. We could probably just...
Whenever you want.
There you go. So, let me ask you this then. Well, first of all, I'm going to extend you guys an invitation, and I'm going to talk to your PR about this, but we do something on our site called the Live Lounge, and you mentioned that you guys do acoustic versions of things that you've done. That's kind of exactly what it is. We have artists record on their end something either acoustic or stripped down, and just they can upload it to their own YouTube and just have it unlisted for us for a week, and we put it up just because we want to spread the great music out there to as many people as we can. So open invitation to you guys if you want to do something for us.
Awesome, thank you. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I would love that. And then the next thing is, what do you guys have coming up in early 2015? Because you mentioned you're not touring right now, but do you have shows planned? Or?
Yeah, we don't have the final dates yet, but there's something going on at the end of January, maybe in a bar called Nine at Mine in Hollywood. Vine and Melrose.
Okay.
Up in Hollywood, in Los Angeles. And maybe by the end of February, we might be playing at the Whiskey Go-Go. But we still need to confirm dates.
Very cool. Well, you know, I'm going to keep in touch with your people because I'd love to see you guys live. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be totally amazing. So now this is the end of our interview. And what we do with everyone is you guys get to ask me a question. You can turn the tables and take us out with a question for me. And you can ask anything you want.
Okay, ask your question. What's your favorite song ever?
Oh, God. That's rough. And no one's ever asked me that. They've asked me my favorite band, but favorite song ever.
Favorite song ever.
Oh my gosh, that's so tough. Well, okay, you know, it's, God, there's so many great songs, but there are two that jump out at me that are a little more current, because, I mean, I could go back to what I grew up with in the 80s and whatnot, so I won't go back that far.
Okay.
Okay, two songs that jump out that I really love are, one's from Puddle of Mud, which is Blurry.
Awesome.
I love that song. I love to sing that song. I used to sing for several years. So,
nice.
I just think it's a really, and I have met the lead singer, Wes, and talked to him a lot about it. It's, just a painful song. And to me, those songs stick out the most are the painful ones. The other one is a Mike Kemp song, actually, which is The Ghost of You.
Amazing song.
Oh my God, I love that song so much.
Yeah, it amazing song.
Brings tears to my eyes every time. The video is astounding. Underrated, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah.
They're just amazing. I've had the opportunity to meet Gerard and Mikey.
Yep.
They're just amazing people.
Really amazing. And, you know, I've met Gerard's wife a couple times, had the pleasure of photographing Mike Kemp and photographing his wife's band, Mindless Self-Indulgence, who I also love.
Nice.
Yeah, so, yeah, great people, and God, what a talent he is. So, yeah, those would be my answers. All right, well, very cool to talk to you, Andre, and again, you know, best of luck to you and everything in L.A., and have a happy holidays.
And thank you for everything.
Thank you, and hope to see you guys live soon.
Yeah, sure, you will, I promise.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.